Now, if you're a batlin, get Yosef Yafi. You don't need to know anything. He knows it all. I needed a number, very important today. He knows it, boom. He knows everything. Yosef, keep it up. I need a whole oilam here. It's a pleasure to have you come all the way from Muncie with Rabbi Fried. Pleasure to have such distinguished people. You know, it's chusim you get, a trip from Muncie. A Muncie to me is like, it's a big schus. Just every inch of that trip is going to give you oilam haba. You can't imagine. Tiferes Shleima in Parshas Ekev speaks about how every tiny thing you do these days has to, you've got to be mash of that. Every mash, every inch, make a spiel out of it. I had a matzah the other day. Something happened. Oh yeah, what happened? I don't get criticized so fast. I don't know why. But I'm always getting everything's great. Abster sees Nebuch, I need so much covered. He says, okay, here's some more. Nebuch, these old guys, they need covered. And the criticism. So we'll hold the wall, Shane. So one day, somebody, a little kid, told me something sharp. It was a little inappropriate also. What, we're okay? It was a little inappropriate also. Little kid. That day, something else happened. Someone criticized. Oh, so I was going to tell it over. It was a cute story. I said, what are you telling over that story for? Just yesterday, you had covered Malachim. Why did you tell that story over? This is interesting. You know, people sit on negatives by habit. They don't. I'm having nisim galuyim. Somebody in my family was having a lot of pain, and I was davening, and it went on for a long time. Suddenly, the pain disappeared. At least write it down. It goes over your head. It's like nothing happened. If you have to, every day, you have to sit down and write 10 good things that happened that day. That'll give you mut. It'll give you chiyus. Give you simcha. Yep, write down. Now, Rabbi Miller. Now, I don't look too much at other. I stick to my B'tachot weekly. I have my notes for my Rebbeim. I have enough work. I don't go shopping around much. Very little. In other pastures. There, I respect everybody. I don't have the time for this. People, anyway. But I decided, Rabbi Miller, I have a soft spot for Rabbi Miller, especially since I like his grandchildren a lot. And so Rabbi Miller is Rabbi Miller. In my books, he's not shy. Especially since I'm in the same school as him, Chavis Avavis. I'm a Talmud of the Chavis Avavis. And so I came to my own conclusion. What's El? Say thank you, 24/7. That's El. What else? And I got riots all over the place. Just say thank you. Cut it out. You want to take a look at the Hilchos of Torah. That's all the Torah is catching. The Torah is always, you know, you didn't say thank you. That's all we hear about. It's coming out of our ears. You didn't say thank you here. You're stretching it. Shemais doesn't have that stuff all over the place. Mislaining him, stretching. That's what it's all about. The whole Torah. That's the chait. By the way, in the Haim, back in Europe before the war, when they used to say zindigin, it meant complaining. Just zindigin, sinning. This guy's a sinner. A sinner means a complainer. I'll say b'schus, Reb Shlomo Golis, that's on a sweetie, who's a chazan Nebuch. He was a cute fellow. He never had a hard life. My holy parents used to keep him over the house, keep him for Shabbos. He used to eat with us as soon as we poured a little bit something. He used to scream, "Genuk, mix it up!" Like he's a funny person. You barely poured anything, and he screamed, "Yeah, enough!" And he used to laugh in his hat. The first time I met him, There was a thing stuck in his hat. And I picked it up. I wanted to know, whose hat is this? And it said on it, it was in shul, like H-E-L-L, it's yours. Put it back. I said, who's this guy? Who's this guy? They said, that's Mr. Gullis. Oh, sweetie. Shlomo Gullis. He was a cousin. Remember, he lost his voice when his son was nifta. Oh, sweetie. I met him in home for the sages of Israel on Willett Street. And there in the west, in Manhattan. I went to visit him, Nebuchadnezzar's last. He was holding by, he was in a nursing home. It was very not pashut over there. So he started crying, and he never did that. Never, ever, ever. He was jovial. All the time laughing and joking. Look at his hat. My hat's also interesting. Rosh Kibag. Anyway, so So he was crying. And he told me, Yudala, Yudala, Yudala. An old Russian yin and a Swedish sugar. Those Jewish people, there's nothing like them. Especially our Bad. Our Chavra. They're super. Anyway, so he said, Yudala, Yudala. He started crying. I saw what was happening. There was certain in his body. He needed certain help that Hashem Yerachem. No one should know of it. Say, let's not get old. You get old, different Yisurim. This doesn't work. And I saw what was going on. It was very unpleasant what was going on. I saw it. And he started crying. And he said, Yudala, Yudala. And he says, Ich bin ich kein Sündige. I'm not that type that sins. But this is a little tough on me. But that was his lashon. I'm not a Sündige. I'm not one of those. That's what they called it back home. A Sündige. What is Sündige? What are you catching? What are you sinning? That's called sin. Kvetching is called sin. And by Chazal, Znus was called Aveira. Stam Aveira was called Znus. That's like the epitome. So in Dahein Ba'elos Eden, the epitome of... Do you know that I heard in the Vardiga Zog that the worries are like somebody's Kvetcherai who worries it's worse than a Rurim Royim? What are you doing? It's not healthy. Get it out. Okay, look. We're all worriers. Let's stop. Chap maluchim. We're worries, and it's a big tikkun to be a worrier. And and keep up the good work. So you worry, so. But to inspire you to stop worrying, I'm saying this stuff, but don't take it too serious. You're not against a bum, I knew Gedolei Yisrael who had such weaknesses. Grace and Yidin, they were nervous types. What are you going to do? All these nervous types, ain't a raya p'nei Gehenna. If you're a nervous type, no Gehenna for you. You come to the next world, it's going to be scary up there, no matter how good you think you were. You're in for a lot of surprises. Everybody is. But good news, you're a warrior? Oh, okay. You had your Gehenna already. Now, we'll leave you alone. The Gehenna is not for you. That's what's going to happen to those people who thanked Hashem for the difficulties they had in life. Those people are going to erase tons of din in this world and the next world. You already said, like you're waiting. To me, the pits is waiting for the bus to just roll in when I was just about to make my turn and speed away, and here comes another one of those heavyweight champions. Who wants you in the road? Today I saw a truck. Oversized. Yeah, I know that. That's the problem. Oversized. Hey, what are you doing on the road? We can do without you. But things are moving smooth. Now you have to pop up and make everybody depressed. All the motorists are saying, okay, no. And he has to angle himself. So he shouldn't run over hip the people on the streets. Chassid Shalom. The guys are they have them all over, these guys. Just when you want to make here he is. Anyway, I'll tell you something. If you're Makabal, Zunul Misalat says, Kali Kuvala Teva. Every ikuv, when you're delayed, it's a taiva. Say it with your whole heart. Get used to having patience. Don't think anybody really, really has it. I don't know if you could expect to have it in America. Red, white, and blue guys should have patience. Not in this Gilgal. But try. A little bit. I used to see my father and my uncle, the Mandels. They used to sit down. And then all the time, the clock stopped. And they used to schmooze and sing. A different world, you know. They had menucha. That's the big thing. Anyway, so those people that are operating mitoich bilbul without menucha get 100,000 times more schar than the other ones. I'm not putting down the last days, but the schusim that we have to operate despite my deep seated inferiority complex that my this one gave it to me and that guy who messed me up when I was 5, this guy messed me up when I was 8. This guy, and all that stuff I'm living with all the time. That is your Gan Eden. That's why you're going to be zeichet to everything. Now, I want to tell you something. People can work on themselves. Rabbi Aaron Cutler. There's a story circulating about him. I'm responsible. I just want to correct the story to be said properly. That I heard from my dear friend Yitzhak Dershowitz that he had to overcome. Now, to say that he had to, in the area of getting upset, he had to overcome. Now, to say on him, to the degree that in his later years, his wife said, you're way too patient. Like this guy was making him a sugar, being mavazi him. And he was calm like anything. And his wife said, you're so different than what you used to be. To say that he had anything like the way we have when we get angry or upset, no way. When he was a little boy, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's mother saw him, and she said, "The Shechina is on his face." Rabbi Yaakov said it at his levaya, and I myself heard about Rabbi Aaron Cutler. I heard from a Yid, an old Yerushalayim Yid, who learned in Slabodka. Dvoritz, his name was, if I'm not mistaken, Dvoritz. Chevrona. He was in Slabodka. He learned Slabodka. We're going back, you know how old I am? I knew people, from way back. Anyway, he learned Slabodka in Rabbi Aaron's time. And I believe he was older than Rabbi Aaron also. And he told me, everybody knew. As soon as Ravan stepped in, this is the future God Lador. And now I checked something recently. The Alta used to take walks with him. And they used to schmooze around, not a learning. And it was about to be Mechazik Ravan. He was a Yassim. The Alta, Ravan was around before he came to Slabodka. He was a Baruch Bez Yeshiva. He was in other places. And Aldo and Slabodka, there was a war going on between the Haskalah and the Musanikas especially. They were at a war. Aldo and Slabodka was good. Aldo from the Bardi, they went to war against the Haskalah. When Sarashinira went to war. They were in for those people that had nobody. Kaius was going down. It was a pachad what went on, and they fought each in his own way. Anyway, so the Altman said that anybody with a good head was in hot soup. The Haskalah was going to get him. That's where the Altman and the Vardig decided we got to make yeshivas everywhere. Who was it? Trotsky? Who was that? That Yiddish, Trotsky was the guy. Trotsky was thrown out of a yeshiva. Trotsky was in a yeshiva, they kicked him out. Label Trotsky. What he did, he messed up. If they would have had a yeshiva, it was Makarim, what the world would look like. So the Alta and the Vardig, became very involved in the Zikya Rabbi. There's so many neshamas being lost. And he went to yeshiva normally, what it would have looked like. Anyway. So the Alchemist Lubotka had his eyes on. Do you know Rav Baron's older sister raised him? When he was 9 years old, 3 years old, he lost his mother. 9 years old, he lost his father. Or the other way around? Whatever. He lost them both. And his older sister raised him. And she had secular ideas. And she wanted him to go out to the world. No one will ever hear of you. It's a true story. I just spoke with one of them. I was close to Enikos of Rabaran, Adam Godel, from Yerushalayim, Rosh Hashiva. He told me that, she used to write him letters, and the Altman Slobodka intercepted all those letters. He never got the letters because the letters were poison. And she cared for him. She was the only, she was his mother. Imagine, she wasn't just a sister. She was his mother. She, because he didn't have parents, she raised him. And he loved her. This secularized sister who wanted him to go and become a doctor, whatever, I don't know what. So she sent them letters, and the Altman Slobodka sent Avram Grudzinski, I believe. This is the way the story goes. He sent Avram Grudzinski. Avram Grudzinski was the number one Slobodka Talmud. There was nothing like him. He was a successor of the Alta. He took over Slobodka together with Isaac Sher. He was not Jayev. And he, I think the Alta sent him to the post office. He picked up all the mail and brought it to the Alta. The Alta kept all the mail. And he sent back letters to her in the name of Rav Baron. And Rav Baron never knew anything. Can you imagine what the Alta was doing to save Rav Baron, how much work had to go? And the Alta knew all this stuff, right? I hope I got the story straight. It's Garibaldi. Anyway, so the Alta used to take walks with Rav Baron. He was all depressed. The only mother he had was the sister. And she's not writing him. She doesn't care for me. And he didn't write her. It's a pellet. It's a pellet. The whole thing. Davis was behind everything. So the Alta used to walk him home every day for years, I heard. And they spoke a lot, not in learning, but building him up. You're going to steig up, you're going to be a gadol, but he needed a special build-up. Don't worry about your mother, about your sister, you know. I got all the letters, I'm stealing them when you're not looking. But the Alta Slobodka was no fool. Can you imagine? A master, they said he, from all the Altas, he was the biggest psychologist. Boy, did he know people. He knew you, he took one look at you. Rav Hutner, he once embarrassed him a little bit. He shepherded Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner had enough. I'm leaving Slobodka. On the way, he passed by the Alta's house over there to get some whatever. And the Alta's Rebbetzin told him, do you know how much tears the Alta is shedding that you should straighten out? You know how much he cries day and night? He stands in the corner, dabs his head off for you? He heard that. It changed his mind. The Alta was Slobodka. He chepped. You know that he chepped? He would say to a Talmud, also let's tackle the thing on the Russia. And he put out the light. And you had to be on his good list to do that, that he should do that to you. He didn't do that. Somebody that chepped him didn't get that treatment. He did that to the ones he loved. He used to do things. They said whoever tried to imitate him was not Matzliach. You can't do it. He was a pure heart. He was a pure, holy person. Now, there was nobody in the universe like the Alta Slobodka. There's no words to describe him. The chusim he has, the whole yeshiva world belongs to him. It's not shayach. Anyway, so I once heard a story. It happened to Reb Dovid Leibowitz. He was a young bacha. This is how I heard it. He was a young bacha, and he was a genius. And the Alta loved geniuses because there was a war against, you know, Haskalah. And we'd have to get the best people. They were trying to get Chofetz Chaim was on that list. They almost got him. You know that? Chofetz Chaim, Panabizharov. All the big guns, they were in danger. We're going to get him to our team. And then we'll wipe out Yiddishkeit. So they had, it was a, so he, so it was on Purim when Reb Henoch Leibowitz, David Leibowitz, rolled in a nephew to Chavetz Chaim. Yalta was very close with Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim used to collect for Radin and Slobodka. Slobodka, he liked the Vardig a lot. He liked, you know, the Chavetz Chaim. He once saved Slobodka. Slobodka was about to go broke. Slobodka was about to close until they suddenly got a donation from Anonymous. And that, they say that Anonymous was a Chavetz Chaim. He saved Slobodka. Anyway, so he, Alter had to consult. And Avodas Hashem used to go to him. Anyway, so it comes, Purim, and suddenly this genius, Reb Henoch Leibowitz, comes in. And the Alter is flanked by his Talmidim, having a Purim suit, and suddenly he sees him. And he says, What are you doing here? He tells him, what are you doing here? Who wants you here? Why don't you go home in front of everybody? Go home. Get lost. We don't want you. I'm doing fine. And he thought Alter was going to embrace him. He loved the Elohim. He used to take them and he treated them like a father. He was, so Reb Dov Leibowitz was expecting treatment, like the best treatment. Viola, he got this. So he packed his bags. I'm getting out of this place. That's the Shalom Aleichem. I get for this. Now the Yalta knew. He knew when he's coming. Yalta had his spies. You know that? He had a KGB. You know what he had? The Yalta was Slobodka. And the Vardig, the same thing. A big Eloi came. I'll tell you who it was. Reb Yisroel Goldstein. He wanted to learn Russian. And the Vardig has got a hold of him at the train station. And they said, oh, we heard you want to learn Russian. How did they know everything? They had, well, come to the Vardig. We'll help you with Russian. And he came. The elder from the Vardig got a hold of him. And he told him, stay here for 30 days and learn Musa. And we'll take care of that. Mr. Shem, you'll know Russian. Well, we'll take good care of you. After 30 days, he was sold. He became one of the top Talmidim. They say he rode over the Madrigas on them. He's like, Adam Golarim, Chaim Shalevitz, his brother-in-law. They caught him in the bag. You know, they had, at the train station, they hopped him up. They knew which train he's coming. Unbelievable. They're Maliga Chevet. They weren't pushovers. So the Altman Slobodka tells him, so the guy, double Leibowitz are ready to leave. So the Altman Slobodka, one of his top Talmidim, walks over to Reb David, and David's steaming, angry, and depressed. This is what I get. And as he's packing, he says, taps him on the shoulder, says, what's that? Stay here. What do you mean, stay here? You think I'm out of my mind? That's the Shalom Aleichem. Stay here. The Alter wants you. That is Shalom Aleichem. Just stick around. Don't ask any questions on the Alter. He does these things. Doesn't mean nothing. Just stick around. Come inside. Make yourself at home. Pleasure to have you. Now, so he, next time he's in the hall, so he stays around, he meets him in the hallway one day. As soon as he meets him in the hallway, the Alter, you're still here? You're still here? Didn't I tell you to get lost? We don't want you here. What are you doing here? I said leave. Go home. We don't need you, Bachlal. We're doing fine. We got Gans Fein Eluyim. We have Rav Aaron. We have Rav Hut. That I'm adding. Whatever he told him there. We don't need you. You're fine. He heard that. He had enough. And the second time, this is the pits. He packs his bags again. Again, he gets a tap on the shoulder. Don't you leave. Did you see what I... Don't you leave. Don't ask any questions on the altar. He wants you. How do you... Well, he wants me. He wants you. Stay. And this happened again and again. A song and dance for a year. He made Reb Henoch tight, Reb David Leibowitz. He made him tight Meshuggah. Like, what does he there want from me? The end of the year, he suddenly turned around. He was makar of him like nobody. And he took him into, he was, he once made a vad that when Rabbi Ritz was missing, he made the whole vat look kavaydai by pocket David. David's missing. That's now. Why did he do this? I don't want to get it. I don't know. They say that he had to make sure to work with somebody. He had to be the boss, or else you're talking to the wall. If you have a young upstart, you know, somebody with maybe too much self-esteem, you're not gaining anywhere with him. He doesn't know his place. You know, that's what I heard. I don't know. It's very possible. I know in Chaim Berlin they did things like this. I used to learn that there's one of the tricks that Tanaim used to do to get somebody to be Nisna, to Gemara, think about a comment. And tell me, can you please do me a favor? I'm going to tell you a teretz to your kasha. First, fold that my towel for me. Yeah, do this for me, do that for me. You did that? Okay, now I'll tell you a teretz. When you do an action of achnoah, then you got ears for the person you did it. Rabbeim do this. I know Rebbe, he's gavaldig. You know what he does? He gets the kids to know that place. He says, okay, you'll carry my briefcase. You're going to do this. It's machmir, a person, when you do it. Sinta santa mala. Anyway, let's get back. Today, I get a phone call. L'chaim. Baruch HaTor Adonu Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Shakel L'midvarei.
Amen.
Ah, gavaldig. Anyway, I got a phone call from the head counselor, a manal of a beautiful summer camp. A 5-year-old kid, that happened today. He called Rabbi Mendel, you gotta hear this. All right, you gotta tell it over. We'll see what it's like, if it's worth telling over. I have hundreds of people telling me, you gotta tell this one over. You gotta write this in Betachah Weekly. I have a head for all this. But anyway, but this one, I liked. A 5-year-old kid, they were giving one of these, the grand prize, the last day of camp. I think it was today. This prize, a kid goes riding on a thing, I forgot what it's called, the best toy in the world. And the kid, a 5-year-old kid said, Ma, I won. How do you know you won? I have betachen. 5-year-old little booby. I have betachen. And he takes his ticket and he writes on one side Tzvi. The other side he writes betachen. Now, the head counselor heard about this before. And the mother's laughing, you know. Cute kid, you know. Betachen. Oh, you have betachen, blah, blah. That's so interesting, you know. Cute little Baal Betachen. Eichma Baal Betachen. Oh, you're also you're one of those big Baal Betachen at 5. At 5, he's going to win. The kid said, he knew about this, the head counselor, before. Now, he got up there. He picks up the ticket. Hundreds of kids picks it up. And he sees, lo and behold, the Baal Betachen won. And he said, you won, Tzvi, you won. You had betachen. Yeah, the best part of the story is Tzvi's reaction. Yeah, of course. I mean, what are you guys getting excited for? Betachen. That is a meister. A Baron told over. Heard from Yossel Kaufman. Reb Shmuel Salant. Reb Zunel Misalant got the best shidduchim. He had an older daughter who wasn't going anywhere with Shidduchim. And he gets up one day, he says, watch this. And he couldn't get, he didn't have a position, he didn't have money. He wasn't, he's a gadol, but Reb Zunel Misalant was not, they say, he wasn't, I'll be terrible, he wasn't heading for such a glick shidduch. And he said, guess who I'm getting? I'm getting Reb Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant is in the process of getting divorced. But I got him. And he got him. The next one. Shmuel Salant became. Then Reb Shmuel Salant, he left, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to Reb Shmuel, he says, I want you to come along with me, his son-in-law. He says, I have a position here, I'm not coming. He says, you're going to come, watch. I have betachen, forget it, you're coming. Like a short while later, he started having some chest pains. Goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you must go to a warm country. That's Reb Zunel. Zundel, you're going to learn it. He got all the shidduchim he wanted. Then he's in Yerushalayim. Now what? Yerushalayim. Where was he in Yerushalayim? There's nobody there. The whole yishuv. There's no. You need a bacha for your daughter. Where's a bacha? So he said, the next boat that comes, I'm taking the first bacha off that comes off the boat. That's my daughter's shidduch. And they thought, yeah, Reb Zudel, it's going to be fine. And first boy that came off, he walks over to him. Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? Good, his name was Nathan Nutkin. I was on his kever. It's in Queens, by the way. Nathan Nutkin was the bacha. Shalom Aleichem, now I have a daughter in Shidduchim. Those days, they didn't, you know, get complicated. They're all a little bit like the Vardy. I'd like my daughter, I'd like you for my daughter. He said hello, he didn't know him from Adam. Who knows who this guy is? Could be an Amoritz, who knows? So he said, all right, it's a deal. I marry your daughter. They shook hands, kiss cop, drink a chaim. Now, they notified a girl later. Hope there's no ladies over here. Ladies, please don't listen to that. Anyway, we're not going to, don't worry, today, it'll be more, give you an idea. You can see him another 8 days, 10 days, get good and complicated. Is he for me? You know, chasishol. We're all in the same boat. We're not that much yet. Anyway. So, he was a chasin. Then, right after he became a chasin, he started speaking and learning with him. He's out of it. Did you learn this Tosis? Who? And there was Bnei Torah. Zunel was a great Olam. Ooh, was he big. And all the Bnei Torah, Yerushalayim and Bnei Torah, those days, they come, Mazel Tov, say a word to the Chassan, tell him about, and he's sitting there like, he knows nothing. Ziron, I'm Oritz Deraisa. That's what he got himself. So, this is in print, and they say Rabaran told it over. Now, there's a Knech, I heard B'Shem Rabaran. That they said, Reb Zudel, you sure you know what you're doing? He says, I said the first bacha that's coming off the boat is marrying my daughter. That's it. Anyway, under the chuppah, there's an amaretz over there. It's terrible. Reb Zudel, right afterwards, he opens himself up, and out comes Kola Teda Kula. He was an enikol of the Shagasari, a big miyuchas yet also. And he knew Kolot, he knew every great Olam. Why didn't he say anything? Because he made a Kabbalah. Till he gets married, he's not speaking. No Torah. He himself was to pull something like that. How you gonna get married? But that was his Kabbalah. So this is the PS of the story. Reb Shmuel Salant was concerned. Who's his new brother-in-law? You know, and when he saw that he was a guy, he was the one to find out first. He opened up to Reb Shmuel. So he ran to his shver, to Reb Zundel. And he said, you know, we got to catch. He's a great Olam. He said this, he's that. So Reb Zundel looked at him like, okay, what's the chiddush? I had the tachin. He was not fazed. I heard that B'Shem Rabaran. He wasn't fazed. How's that, Rabbi Sai? You got to work up the tachin, the Ibiz of the Telfin. Anyway. So. Now, the Teferis Shleima says that every tiny move you make, Bezmaneinu, you have to value it. In his time, I am very, very big into that. I recommend it. It's Elul. I go around all day saying, thank you, that I want to have a good Elul. Sit on yourself. Do it day and night. Maybe it'll kick in. People are so... You got to make it. What make it? I made it. I care about Elul. If you care, you talk about Elul. You talk about it. You care about it. It's big stuff going on. Very, very important to make a big spiel. And I'm going to tell you a story that happened to this woman. This is Hafledika story. It's a true story. This woman was not getting along with her husband. terrible, killing each other. Oh, why did I marry you? And why did I marry you? Bickering. Anyway, she was, one of the complaints against him was, he doesn't learn. And what made her really dislike him? She's always listening to a schmooze from one of these top-notch speakers. Tate! Stop learning! You're not learning, you're not worth a penny! You gotta learn, learn! And she is constantly listening to that schmooze. He's not. I think it would be an idea if he listened. But he's not cut out. The guy's simply not cut out. It's not happening. And she comes home after the, what a great sermon. Ah, ay, my heart is full of love for Torah. And she comes home and here goes, and hate for my husband. And she comes home and she looks at her husband. And he's, there he is, whatever he's doing is not with a black Gemara. He's a nice fellow, he's sweet, he's good, he makes money, he's from, but he's not. And she's, and the more she sees, hears this guy, the speaker, the more the Shalom Bayis is on the rocks. Thanks to Musa. Here you got a great situation where Musa did the job. Watch out. What Musa Shmuzin? So I was involved in this. And I told the woman, lady, you to listen to that schmooze. You know, no, I didn't say that. I don't want to say what I want to say. But it's also for you to go to that schmooze. Killing your Shalom Bayis. For somebody else, it's great. Not for you. What are you doing? And this another guy, the same thing. His wife isn't as tzinius as Shai. And he keeps hearing lectures and tzinius. You got to be tzinius. He comes home. His wife is 100%. Keeps halacha. But she's a little cool. You know, like a lot of ladies today, they do certain things that are a little bit, you know, a little. And he can't stand her. And after hearing such a fiery schmooze, I'm tzinius. Tzinius. And there's my wife. I told this story to one of the big rabbanim here in Lakewood. And he told me, they say, you want to kill your Shalom Bayis, listen to a Shalom Bayis schmooze. It's all you got to do. He comes home. I didn't know that women are supposed to be doing that for husbands. And look what I got messed up with. He spoke so much. And the lady, I didn't know men are supposed to be. What kind of husband did I fall into? They were happy until they listened to. Don't listen to these. Marital, keep away. In Nevada, they had a good life. They couldn't care less. Speaking to men, I'm not speaking to ladies. If the ladies want, I'll change my nusach for them. But I'll tell you, for the men, I'm dead serious. They never even knew what a lady's supposed to do for them. Who cares? Am I doing my job? It's all they care about. There is such a thing in the Nevada world of giving to chacha. Not so simple. Then my Slobodka connection did not believe it. Any tachacha for anybody, not a son-in-law, tachacha, out of here. You don't belong here. No tachacha, you're not made of Derek, a son-in-law. Bug off. Your son is already this age. Don't you become a whole. We have to straighten you out. Keep out of that stuff. Sayin Slobodka, you know, in Nevada, one person, I don't know how much they all went along with it. But this person did hold. But the way he gave me techacha, you can eat it up. You know how to do it. But that's such an edelkeit. If you know how to do it, that's a different ball game. Make sure. Probably you don't. It's better. The Alter von der Weidig says, if you noticed anything negative about a person, you have a serious problem. What did you notice? What? Well, she's not so good. She's not. Why did you notice that? What are you all about? You don't. Hey, look at you. You know, Chazal say, call a paisel b'mumei paisel. You know that? As a Rebbe, the Rabbein were masking with me. I noticed this several times. How many boys in this class know a ganif? all the kids who have a reputation of doing that type of stuff, or a liar, all those kids raise their hand. I know somebody like that. And I take a look, I think I know also. I think it's you. I don't say that. I noticed it myself. And my other rabbis said they had the same experience. If you apostle somebody, means you're... Chazal say, call a bais, call a bais. I'm going to tell you, Mice, it just happened yesterday. This Hafo fellow. I asked the boys in my class. I'm giving out prizes this summer. All the boys who learn extra. Giving to whatever you keep in touch with me, I'll give you chocolate bars. Learn extra. One, two things you got to do. Learn extra and daven for the person that you can't stand. I do this in class. Any boy, did you daven for the person you hate? Did you? Okay, here's a chocolate. Here's... I'm giving you a slush card. Take care. All right, Pesach. What? Where are the booklets? There's a box over there, no? What happened? He's going to be here soon, Lang. Lang is going to be here soon. You came. See that? Rabbi Lang, you came just in time. Come inside. Enjoy. Okay, now. So, what was I saying? The kids, I asked the kids, who davened for somebody you can't stand? And found, without telling him or her, it's the sister, you know, the brother, the baby sister, the whatever it is. You know that half the kids raised their hands, that person suddenly became nice to them. Did you hear that? Chazanish, an Eitzah. Chazanish gives an Eitzah. You don't like somebody? Daven for him. Daven for the guy you can't stand. I tell, over the summer, anybody who davens for the guy you can't stand, dafka for him. You want me to give you my research and the whole tzara, the oiskim, the Torah, the chesed, and the gula is not here. This concept of caring for someone you don't like, it's so important. Everything's sitting there. Everything. You must go all out for that person. You have to talk about him. It's never enough. It could be a lifetime job. There's somebody, everybody's got somebody in his life that he can't stand. The Abish that made the world like that. It's l'chatchila. Without that, what ilam haba? Kibla salama. You don't have any. My latest mifus, I got a phone call today. My mother calls me up. I told her she has a 24 year and a half year old and a 26 year old, two bachurim. And they're not going nowhere with Yiduchim. I says, lady, get positive. She got positive. And just talk positive. Everything's fine. The guys are good. No, never kvetching. And 3 weeks later, just became a chassan. I just got a message. It's my thing. I got another message from Yerushalayim. He's a big maggid shir. Yerushalayim is his relative called me up. What did you do to my brother-in-law? He's listening to my stuff in Yiddish or Hebrew, whatever. And about not being afraid of people. He's a big gun. He's not a kid. He's a big maggid shir with many talmidim, with everything. Talmud chacham, muflig, tzaddik. But he's scared, you know, when you see him. He sits like this, and he's not a little kid either. All his life, he's like, he can't open his mouth. So when you're sitting at a family simcha with him, it's, you know, hal b'tishabav, you know. It's not pleasant. And he said he's been listening to, I don't know, 2 months or so, and he's the life of the party. That's something. Life, and there's a lady there. Oh, boy. There's a lady who turned around her life. Oh, boy. With this... I mean, some people take to it. Well, we have over here Rabbi Fried. He is a real Navariga. He is Mavara. He will take apart. He'll tell you. You guys love him. How many guys do you have? Ten?
Ten guys. Some of them are not consistent.
Yeah. He's got 10 people. I don't know how you get away with an hour and a half, 5 days a week. They come in and out a little bit, whatever. He puts his heavy... And the guys love it. I guess every guy loves it. He takes a guy apart. He proves to you. He's a Mavar. Now, in the Vardig, you need a guy who can take you apart. You know what that means? The stipler once told somebody that, Kuktarain, Rabbi Lang, I want to give you closer to better. Come. So, what I want to say, yeah. In the Vardig, there's a picture of Mavar. Mavar is somebody, his name, I forgot his name, that's... you see the Shekhin on his face, and you see his fire. He was rather well put together, even though he was in a Vardiga. I forgot his name. He was a big Mavar. No one could pull anything on him. You know, he was a big Mavar, Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski from Slobodka. You know who must have been a great Mavar? Rav Miller. Rav Miller understood. Rav Miller, Mayas Chassid, because I smell it, the truth. He had Dak. Adak Anshay Nivdak, they said in Slobodka. He went through, he had you clear. He tells people, you want to cheer up? Go into a chronic disease hospital and look at them all, chronic disease, whatever. You'll cheer up. What? Is that nice? Yes, you were so smart because all you have to have Rahman is, you don't, when you have Rahmanis, when you cry, you know, Rabbi Yerucham said that the Chassidim are happy when they drink schnapps on Purim. They did a big mitzvah. And us, we're not happy when we fetch a little bit, because it's not really for Tisha B'Av, it's because your wife picked on you yesterday. So the kvetch is not real. I'm not so good at that, because nowadays, so what if it's not real? Did you hear what I said? So what if it's not real? You're trying to do the right thing. What's his name? Rav Chatzkel didn't want to be masvid. Rav Isaac Sher. You know, it looked funny. Because he was from the Mir, and Rav Isaac Sher was Slobodka. It was different abyssal. Didn't want masvid. He said later on, because his tears weren't going to be the real thing for Rav Isaac Sher, because something else happened in his family that broke him. So it wasn't going to be the real thing. So I just want to say, our Olam, it's not for us. Any of this stuff. You are perfect. I cried l'shem shemayim. You helped so-and-so because you enjoyed it. You have ants in your pants. You're not really a Baal Chesed. You have ants. Don't listen to that Yetzara. You're a Tzadik Gomer. I had this just yesterday. I spoke to somebody. I screamed at this person in Nebuch. The destruction that this person is causing in the house with. Everyone suffers because this person can't believe. They're in Kelm instead of knowing they're in America. They take themselves apart. I'm not really. And when I say something nice, I'm also in trouble. You didn't really mean it. They're so skeptical. You got to be a Talmid. I believe all the shvachas they tell me are true. And everything I do is l'shem shemayim. You know, Rabbi Miller told me, that's all. He tells these women that weren't wearing shaylach. I believe that's what it was. He doesn't tell them off. But as soon as they make the smallest gesture of improvement, he makes a big spiel out of them like they were always the greatest people. Like, don't address the negative. I heard that in Slobodka, it was an Avera. Don't get near negatives. It's poison. Don't touch it. Not yourself, not someone else. Don't worry. If you're negative, leave nishpa. Be negative. Join the club. We're all a bunch of schleppers. We're all negative. We're all depressed. Enjoy the club. Don't worry. Don't listen to Mandela.
I get to leave to the story about the shekel.
Yeah.
The shekel happened to a relative, somebody who I know, that she did it for cosmetic reasons.
Oh.
He was able to hop around, and he said, he said, look, so-and-so put on a shekel, like to congratulate her. And one year, everybody was wearing shekels.
Yes. He told this to me personally when I worked there. We have an anacle right here. The best of all the anacles joins us. It's a beautiful story. Anyway, he told this to me. That Mamas this mice. Said, that's the way to go. Don't. You catch a dude. This guy had trouble with his kid. His kid was turning over. He's a shrek. This kid was mamish looking at Kol Dover Asa. By the way, I have a letter from somebody. I told him to be positive. This kid was the biggest mechutz in the family. And he was fighting with his siblings. And I said, don't you dare say, in other words, he wrote down my whole plan. No cast, only positive to him and behind him. And the third thing, I forgot what it was. He followed my rules. In 2 months, he had a different kid. kid was a big machutzav. He had a Pesach that full of derech eretz to have. Anyway, but this other fellow was mamish looking at the worst things in the world. Now, I am not impressed with him. If you're afraid of him, then you got a problem. What's an addiction? I had somebody. You want to know what not having the spilus means? I'm a king of that. I live at the worst problems. I live. You'd be shocked how often I come out ahead. You're fine. You know how many people call me up? I had a myphus, and you know, so you're getting a myphus. Somebody, I got a phone call. Abacha. I don't want to go into his details. What's with him? The Bacha has to go through terrible operations. Excruciatingly painful operations. Something is wrong with him, physically. Very wrong. Whatever an obvious problem, Hashem Yirachem. And I met him, and he came to me, and can you please give me a brush? I says, no pain. I got a call from him right after the operation. He went through 10 of them. This one had no pain. I have a lot of ladies giving birth. A lot of them. My wife has 8 kids. The one with you gave the bracha was the easiest lady of all of them. Do it! You can do the same thing. Give a bracha. What's going to hurt you? It's going to be perfect. Say it with a stoltz. It's called betachin. I went to Rav Scheinberg. Something happened. The family one of my 8 o'clock got hurt. I'll be perfect. You know, you have betachin right there. You don't have to learn musa. I have betachin. Yeah. Talk yourself into it. Talk positive. Only good comes out of positive words. Only good. I had a maisu with my foot. I saw my own eyes when you're positive about a person. Suddenly that person is smiling. I saw that calm upon him. I was radiating a lot of behind the guy's back. Everything would be okay with him. Suddenly I take a look at him. Hey, how come he's always going around like this? And he's smiling. He asked my Rebbe, what happened? He says, you always think of talking on that person? So you got a happy temper. That's murder. And myself, I had trouble with my foot. And I was harving on betachin. It didn't get better. I had to keep my foot up for a long time. And for some odd reason, I was in class. And they had this an interesting, comfortable chair, but it was so geschmack. Sitting like I'm a sugar with my foot up. It was crazy geschmack. It made no sense. And I asked my Rebbe, that's funny. He said, that's betachin. Even if you didn't get what you're supposed to be getting, the Irish treats you different. I once had a procedure done by a nurse. Oh. And the nurse was out of her wit's end, what she did to me. She did to me a very painful procedure. Very painful. And not only she had to do that, but she did it wrong. And she had to do it again. Rabbi Sai, I didn't feel a thing. Not the first time, not the second time. And till today, she does not believe me. She says, I hurt you. I did. No, I did. No. You don't want to say, lady, I didn't feel nothing. I did hurt you. No, you didn't. I don't believe you. That's how she still doesn't believe me. If you're Isaac and Betachin, you get different service. Sit with the Abishta. I got. By the way, if you're having difficulty in anything, you know what the cyclist says? Big things come only through lots of difficulties and lots of tsar. You want to work on the talking? Don't think you overnight, but work on it. And when you get a no from the Abishta, keep working. And it's not working, so what? I'm so betayach. You know what tsar you get when you're in action? When you're stubborn, oh, that thing I've been dominating for years and nothing's happening. Well, now it's going to happen. Rav Geshen says, Noah's file is from the past. What's the past? Past doesn't, but years. Today, we're having the issue. The prodigal was very big into that. Today, we're having the issue. Keep going. the schar of working on the tachat, the next world, that's worth much more than nachas and shmachas and panusin. This is more than learning. Rav Scheinberg told it to me. B'shem Zagra. The only reason the Talmud Torah can egg it kulam is because you'll be forced to have betochen. The guy says, "Ik in a sin is a Torah betochen." Now, don't close your gemaras, please. Rav Scheinberg was the biggest masb in the universe. But betochen was his thing. You know, I was under his bed during the Six-Day War. When we were bombing like Meshuggah, it was the first night, Monday night, when the war started in Yerushalayim. And it was horrific. The bombs and the noises were in Diskin Orphanage in the hallway, in the corridor over there. And all the guys, everybody got himself a mattress away from the windows. The windows were the windows. Watch out. Glass. So I was a batlin. It's good to be a batlin. Because I was the only guy that couldn't find a place because I woke up late. Oh, you guys, we're going to sleep now. Oh, I'm going to sleep. No one really slept, but at least that's so much. It was dark. The whole Yerushalayim was a blackout. It was a blackout for weeks before the war because they were scared just in case they'll start. So anyway, so I couldn't find a place. So I put the mattress right next to Rav Scheinberg's bed. He had a bed. We all had mattresses. We're 40 bucks. In between the bombs are falling stronger and stronger, and I said, "Bidui." And I said, I felt sorry my parents would have to lose me. That's what bothered me. I'm such a nice kid. So I'm not supposed to have to lose me at such a young age. You know, I remember that bothered me. My parents had sent me a ticket. They should have a listing of Ghanaian. They wanted to save me. And I was a little interesting kid. And I stayed. Everybody was running away. They knew the war was breaking out. They disappeared. They went to England. The Schneider's Yeshiva. That's where Scheinberg's boys went mainly. Well, and then after the war, they came back. But they all left. A lot of guys left. And Rav Scheinberg got up. I was there in Mattersdorf when he announced that he said, "Nobody leave. Nothing's going to happen. And I have 8 o'clock. And I'm telling you, he was very stark. Nothing's going to happen." I didn't like that one. And by the way, I read Niyateh years later, 30 years later. They had planes running without gas. You know, the Six-Day War was mifes and galuyim. We didn't stand a chance. It was ridiculous. They had Syria from the north, Jordan from the east, and Egypt from the... What?
And
Iraq, really? He comes in handy. Good to have you. Anyway, so Rav Scheinberg left at the whole thing. He worked a lot on betochen. That was his big thing. And so I was under by the bed, and everybody was shaking, and the walls were shaking. It was crazy, thick walls, Disc and Orphanage. They had the walls of Mamish like an amalgam. Anyway, and Rav Scheinberg is sleeping, and then things get Hilchem Gaba. It got worse and worse until the bombs were Mamish. You heard the impression was that all the homes around us were all smashed up. Now we go. Because we heard, tremendous, the noises were frequent. And the other end of the Diskin Orphanage, the Yesaimim, there are a group of 50 Yesaimim with a madris over there. Shit on my lies! When it got real bad, the kids were going to sugar. Saying Tillim, and Rav Scheinberg sleeping. So I went over, I said, "Someone got to wake him up. This is the end, you know, the end. You're going to sleep through it, you know. You got to say Vida, you got to do, it's over." So who's going to do it? It's Einikol, one of the Altuskis. We elected him to do the job. I remember the Zayda, you see what's going on, it's over. Yeah, he goes, "What did you wake me up for?" "It's nothing. I was there. The Tachin. What do you say? Abakeh Hashem Chesed Yisrael Avenu. And Shalom Yisrael Kadigul Yisrael Mamish.